ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
They continually say to those who despise me, "The Lord has said, you shall have peace." And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, "No evil shall come upon you." Wow, those are pretty powerful words. Against these false teachers, these worthless shepherds that are not teaching the people the Word of God. And they're giving them the philosophies of the world. And how do they authenticate it? Thus says the Lord, God spoke to me. I got a phone call from God. Or whatever. Here's the thing, guys. How do we know if something is from God or not? It's so simple. The Word of God. The Bible. We don't have to guess. God tells us what's right and what's wrong. It's not my opinion. It's not my ideas. It's what God's Word has to say. And it doesn't matter what the prophets are saying. And there are a lot of people today going around supposedly speaking for God things God has never said. You need to be careful. Now, Paul warned in Colossians 2, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, through the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." Do we need anything else, anything more than God? No. God and his word. And his spirit speaks to us. We're complete in him, not apart from him. And we have to be careful of the latest philosophies and traditions and ideas that the world's throwing at us because they're empty. And the message that the false prophets had sounded was great, man. Listen to this message. Everything's going to be good. We're going to defeat the Babylonians. It wasn't true. Remember last September? Bears are going to the Super Bowl. That was my prophecy. How did that go? Not too well, okay? But that, get the stones on, yeah. But listen to this. These guys are the religious leaders. So what they had to say was more dangerous. That's the problem. You know, we're not just saying, well, just let bygones be bygones. Don't deal too much with that. Just let it go. It'll be okay. At least some of the stuff that they say is good. No. If they're leading people astray, there's a danger. And we have to be careful. You have to apply everything to the Word of God. You know, they were telling the people peace and prosperity. Why? Right? What did the people want to hear? Peace and prosperity. What was coming? Judgment. The Babylonians. Don't you want to hear the truth? I do. I don't want to go to a doctor who says, you know, everything's okay, Joe. Hope you got your will done. I want him to tell me the truth. If I'm dying, tell me. If there's something wrong with me, tell me so I could fix it. But the false prophets just want everything to be good. And we're all singing Kumbaya together, going to hell. That's not a good thing. You know, Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Isn't that interesting? You know, people always look at all, you know, the Corinthians with all the spiritual gifts, which I believe are very important and applicable for today. But when you go to the pastoral epistles, which were written much later, where you had the Word of God coming together, Paul tells Timothy, preach the Word. Not only to preach the Word, but to be ready in season and out of season. Why? Because sometimes people want to hear the Word of God, sometimes they don't, right? Paul says, doesn't matter. You be ready in season and out of season. You convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Because the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or fairy tales. Just what they want to hear. Isn't that what happened in the southern kingdom of Judah? We like hearing that positive message. It was so good. No judgment. We're going to win this. Babylonians aren't going to take us away. It was a fairy tale. It wasn't true. And again, people may not want to hear the message, but they need to hear the message. And so we share the message of God from the Word of God. You know, James said, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Now, I don't think James is really trying to discourage people to become teachers of his word, of God's word. If you're called by God, you step forward. But there's a responsibility as you teach the word of God. It's got to be done accurately. It's not what you want to say, it's what God has spoken. Many people have lost the fear of God when they're teaching the word of God. And so they're out to please men and they'll give people what they want to hear. But you may be popular down here, but when you stand before God, I wouldn't want to be you. There's a huge responsibility in teaching God's word. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 3, the Lord said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning for me. When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." You know, pastor teachers and teachers are the ones who watch out for our souls. Those who we must give account. Paul said that in Hebrews 13:17. "Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Not to take this lightly. And we don't put, like, you know, new believers in the teacher's role. Paul said that in 1 Timothy 3:6. "Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil." Teachers, pastor teachers, should not be lackadaisical about God's word, because you're going to hurt people. And there's a judgment, but not a judgment of damnation, but of losing your reward, as I've said. To much is given, much is required. And I think this judgment has a twofold application. We've talked about believers who are teaching the word of God not accurately, and they end up losing their rewards at the Bema Seat or the judgment seat of Christ. Maybe chastened in this life so they can repent and get right with God. But false teachers, unbelievers, they incur a judgment at the great white throne judgment spoken of in Revelation chapter 20. You know, the great Scottish reformer John Knox was so awed and burdened by the responsibility to declare God's word faithfully that before his first sermon, he wept uncontrollably and had to be escorted from the pulpit until he can compose himself. That's how heavy it was upon him. One pastor said, "There's no special honor in preaching, there's only special pain. The pulpit calls those anointed to it as the sea calls its sailors. And like the sea, it batters and bruises and does not rest. To preach, to really preach, is to die naked a little at a time and to know each time you do it that you must do it again." Why do you think I have a podium up here, right? Solid one. Little bit more. It's not easy. You're speaking forth difficult things. And I guarantee you, over the years, if you've been here any length of time, there are things that I've said that's probably irritated you. But I would challenge you to search out what God is saying. Because if you're bothered by it, why? Why are you being bothered? There's a reason. And you could, you know, seek God's direction, ask him, and if he doesn't show you anything, well, who knows, you know, it's a bad burrito. But maybe there is something in your life that you do need to change. So listen to what God is saying. When God's word is spoken, he's speaking to his people. The Holy Spirit will open the things of God to you. That is why I teach the word of God. As teachers, and again, all of us teach at some capacity. We're all sharing Christ in some way. May we do so with the word of God and not the philosophies of man. Because there's divine judgment for those that are not teaching the word of God appropriately. Well, look at the first part of verse 2 here in James 3. "For we all stumble in many things. In other words, we're all sinners. It's kind of a strange strange statement, but it's true. We all stumble, even teachers. We can fall prey to sin. Now, what is that about? Well, the ancient Greek word translated stumble does not imply a fatal fall, but something that trips us up and hinders our spiritual progress. And I think this is dealing with sin. And basically what he's saying is, look, we have all blown it in many ways and none of us are perfect in our walk. I think we all agree on that. We all struggle with different things. And here, you know, James is speaking of teachers. He's speaking of maturity, and a sign that a person is mature in the Lord is his speech, what flows from his mouth. It could also stumble us or hinder our progress, what comes forth. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to have control of what flows from our lips, especially pastors, teachers, and teachers. But it's true of all of us. You see, as a teacher, it doesn't give you a platform to teach what you want to teach. Why is that? Well, the heart is wicked. Desperately wicked. And what comes from our heart may not be good. Then what are we to do? Let God speak forth from his word. And again, it's amazing what he does. You know, the studies I do, I'm about 3 or 4 weeks ahead of them when I teach them. I prepare ahead of time. I've been doing that since I first came up here because I worked at the hospital. And I never knew what was coming my way. Either in the church, there were many nights at the hospital. I worked the second shift a lot of times. It'd be 3 in the morning. I'd be working a 12-hour shift. I'd get done at 3 in the morning. And so I had to always be prepared. And I just continue to do that. It helps us stay in ahead with the bulletins, what we need to do with that, and so on. But what's interesting to me is God knows this already. God knows where we're at. And when I start teaching something, it ministers to the people where we're at that time. I can't tell you the number of times people will come up to me afterwards and say, that's exactly what I needed to hear, or that's what I'm going through right now. Well, yeah, I did that 3 weeks ago. So God knew what you were going to go through, right? That's how he works. You know, God's word is living and powerful. May we not forget that. And we don't have to make a passage fit what we want it to say. And that's a real dangerous thing to do. I've seen people who try to do that to promote their cause or what they want to believe. And it's totally out of context when you look at it. And again, it's dangerous. The heart is wicked. We need to be careful. You know, in Psalm 52, verses 2 through 4, the psalmist said, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. Wow. Again, how easy it is to let things flow from our mouth. I can't tell you how easy. I can tell you, but I'm not going to. In Psalm 64, verses 3 through 4, those who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot the arrows, bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the blameless, suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. Again, what should flow from our lips should be building people up, not cutting people up. How important. Last one, Proverbs 21:23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Absolutely. James says that we may sin many times in many ways. We may stumble a lot. Don't continue doing it. Guard your tongue. Guard what comes out of your mouth. And how do we do that? Submit to the Lord. Surrender to him so that your actions will reflect what's in your heart, a heart that's given over to God instead of self. And it's truly a heart issue. Jesus said in Matthew 15, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. What's coming out of our hearts is what we say, things we say. We need to be careful because, you know, that flesh nature is still there. If you get up in the morning, the flesh nature is still there. If you don't get up in the morning, you're dead and you're with the Lord and the flesh nature is gone. Praise God. But we have to deal with it now. How do we deal with it? Surrender, submit to the Lord, give it to Him. That's the only way. You could try and do it on your own, and you're not going to succeed. We like to justify the things we say, but be careful. You know, I don't know if you remember this saying. I do when I was a kid, you know, sticks and stones may, you know, break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I used to say that all the time. That's not true, though. Words do hurt. They really do. They can leave a lasting scar in our lives. And for those who have been hurt, and I think we probably all have in our lifetime, the Lord is the one who can bring healing. But wow, let's not use words to hurt people. Think about with your spouse. Have you ever said anything that was just a jab, a stab? You know, and then like 30 years later, they remember it. How does that happen? Be careful what you say. And I think, you know, James makes a powerful point that negates all the reasons we try to justify our speech. And we'll get to that, not tonight, today, but we will get to it. But I'll just share with you out of James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Get the perspective here. He says, with it, with our tongue, with the words we say, we bless our God and Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Wow, that's a heavy one, okay? I don't know if I want to be here for that one, but I have to teach it, so I guess I will. That is tough. You know, we praise God. Oh, I love you, Lord, so much. You know, that person is such a jerk. All right, have we all been guilty of that? And if you say no, you're a liar. We all do. Why? Because we're sinners, and we need to be careful. We have to draw close to God, and we have to build up the inner spiritual man, the inner man. So what God is doing on the inside is going to overflow in the things we do and the things we say. We can build people up. Let's not tear them down. My brethren, these things are not to be so, tearing people down with the speech, with the words we say. Well, lastly, look at the last half of verse 2 of James chapter 3, where James says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man or a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. So the act of teaching exposes the tongue. And that kind of makes sense because, you know, you have to use words to teach. Well, you know, yeah, we can, with our actions, people can see a lot of things, but we teach with words. And people, they're listening. And again, as we see here, James is speaking of spiritual maturity. That's what that word perfect is all about. And it can mean absolute perfection, but again, that's the only one who's had absolute perfection is Jesus. But we walk in the Spirit, Paul says, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How are you walking or where are you walking? Surrender to the Lord, and what flows from your lips will be perfect. It will be good. It will be edifying. It's what's going to be needed in a given situation. And so having the Holy Spirit control our lips is so important. And when the flesh gets a hold of it, look out, right? Look out. It's not good. One writer put it like this as he summed this up for us. He says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. To not stumble in word shows true spiritual maturity. This is especially relevant to teachers who have so much more opportunity to sin with their tongue. We stumble in word about ourselves with our boasting, exaggeration, and selective reporting. And we stumble in word about others with our criticism, gossip, slander, cruelty, two-facedness, and anger, or with flattery and insincere words meant to gain favor. Exactly. We've all been to the doctor. One of the things he asks you to do is to stick out your tongue and do what? Go, ah, right. Right? That's what he tells you to do. And he's just making fun of you. He doesn't really do anything. No, he's checking you out. Don't go tell the doctor, I think you're just pulling my leg on this one. Pastor Joe said so. No, don't do that. He's looking for problems hidden at the back of your mouth. Things that are going on inside of your body, any disease process that might be going on. And that's what we need to do on a daily basis by being in the Word and allowing the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts on those things. It's kind of a self-checkup. It's kind of like sticking out your tongue going, ah, right? You are looking inwardly at what's going on in your life. And as you're reading God's Word, all of a sudden, oh man, I'm doing that. That's not right. And God is speaking to you. He's teaching you. Warren Wiersbe put it like this. He said, a judge speaks some words and a guilty prisoner is taken to a cell on death row. A gossip makes a phone call and a reputation is blemished or perhaps ruined. A cynical professor makes a snide remark in a lecture and a student's faith is destroyed. Never underestimate the power of words. For every word in Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, 125 people died in World War II. I read that and I go, wow. Every word that he wrote in that book, 125 people died in World War II. So Solomon was right. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. No wonder James compared the tongue to destroying fire, a dangerous beast, and a deadly poison. Speech is a matter of life or death. Thus, we can tell what our walk with the Lord is like by what comes out of our mouth. You know, the words we say to people or of people shows what's going on inside of us. We need to be careful. James says, I want you guys to grow up. I want you to mature in the faith. And one of the ways you do that is with your speech. The things that you say, are they of God or are they of the flesh? This is a heart issue. There's such a big thing about guns today. And, you know, big thing is guns don't kill people. Bullets do. Right? Makes sense. But someone has to pull the trigger. Right? Think about the heart and how deceitful it can be. And as we apply this gun illustration to our speech, think of it like this. The heart pulls the trigger on the tongue, but it also supplies the ammunition in the form of words that come from the heart of hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, and revenge. And it could be deadly. The psalmist said in Psalm 141:3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. The Living Bible puts it a little harsher. Help me, Lord, to keep my mouth shut and my lips sealed. I understand that one. Remember James 1:19, therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And again, I think this is for all of us, to be careful what comes forth from our lips, how we're speaking to people. And we'll see that over the next few weeks as we deal with this issue here in James chapter 3 on the tongue. And again, it's important. We need to understand that there is divine judgment, and we need to teach God's word faithfully, not add to it, take away from it. We need to understand that we're sinners, and we need to surrender to God and seek his direction in our lives, because the flesh is warring against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And lastly, the act of teaching exposes the tongue, because as we teach, we use words. And so may the words that we share build people up, not tear them down. Correction can be done, but it's done in love. And it will show where you're at with the Lord, the words that you say, how you speak of people. So we do need to be careful. And I'll close with these words, and I think they're pretty powerful. We're told this. The teacher begets others in his own image. He makes them like himself. If he dilutes or explains away the clear meaning of any scripture, he hinders the growth of his students. If he condones sin in any form, he fosters lives of unholiness. No other book makes such claims on its readers as the New Testament. It calls for total commitment to Jesus Christ. It insists that he must be Lord of every phase of the believer's life. It's a serious matter to teach from such a book. Absolutely. It is a serious matter. And it's not just taking these words in, but then how applying them to our lives. The world, I hate to say it, is more and more intolerant. They say that we're intolerant, but they really are. May we love them. No matter what they do, no matter what they say, may we have the love of Christ for them. May the words we say build people up, encourage them. And if you don't know what to say, be slow to speak. Pray. Because I can tell you, I can speak really fast. When someone says something to me, it can come out. And then it's gone, and I can't get it back, and I've hurt that person. So be careful. Understand what James is saying here. And again, we're all teachers, but specifically for those that are pastor teachers or teachers, what a heavy responsibility that is, to build people up in the things of God. Father, we thank you for these words, and they're hard words, Lord. We love to hear those messages that just, you know, kind of make us feel good, but sometimes your word just convicts our heart. And this issue of the tongue, what comes forth from our lips is a heavy one, Lord. And I just pray, help us to understand these things, to grow in our walk with you. We all want to mature in the faith, Lord. We want to be strong. We want to be salt and light in a world that's in darkness and is rotting away. Help us to do that, Lord. And may our speech be one that honors you, because we are men and women who have surrendered our lives to you. We thank you, Lord, and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.